live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on the 6th day of November, 2025. Before I introduce my guests today, I want to remind all men in ministry leadership that you are invited to my next biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, which will be held, God willing, on Thursday, March the 5th, 2026, and is featuring for the second time my dear friend since 1996, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who was our keynote speaker. I have known and cherished a friendship with Dr. Mbewe ever since he preached at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, which was my former church home before relocating to Pennsylvania. And my church was the very first American church where Dr. Mbewe preached. And so we have been connected ever since, maintained a friendship, and he has been gracious enough to accept my invitation for the second time to be my keynote speaker at my pastor's luncheon. And this is free of charge on the strict orders of my precious late wife, Julie, who created these pastor's luncheons in the 1990s when I was still on Long Island. And not only is the lunch free and your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach free, but also every man who attends will receive at least one, maybe even two, heavy sacks of free, brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. So mark that down on your calendar. If you're a man in ministry leadership, Thursday, March the 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And if you would like to see a flyer for that, just go to ironsharpensironradio.com, and there is a rotating banner with that flyer on it at the very top of the page. Also, especially for those of you coming out of town who might want to stay here in Carlisle for 2 days, the night before the luncheon, Dr. Mbewe will be preaching at the church where I am a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and that will be at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March the 4th. If you'd like directions and information about Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, go to the church website, trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle, which is spelled C-A-R-L-I-S-L-E.org. You'll have all the information that you need. That meeting is open to everyone, men, women, and children. You do not need to be a man in ministry leadership for that event. So we hope to see you there for one or hopefully both of these events. But I am so thrilled to have three of my dearest friends on the program today. These are Rich Jensen, Anthony Uvinio, and Christopher McDowell, who are all pastors of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, which is in Suffolk County. And today they're going to be addressing the importance of developing mentoring ministries in the local church. And first of all, let me welcome back to the program Pastor Rich Jensen.
Hey, Chris, how you doing today?
Oh, it's even better for me today now that I'm hearing your voice and you're on the program. Why don't you tell our listeners about Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, and be as detailed as you can.
Well, Hope Reformed Baptist Church is as the name signifies, it's a Reformed Baptist Church. We're a confessional 1689 church. We were founded back in 1996 and have been here in Coram for this. We're going on our 30 years. In fact, in June, we'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary. And the Lord has blessed us, and we've seen the Lord working in many ways here on Long Island.
And I just mentioned Dr. Conrad Mbewe. Was not his first speaking engagement on Long Island at Grace Reformed Baptist Church? Isn't there some connection with when you first formed and constituted Hope Reformed Baptist?
That's correct. When we were preparing to form Hope Reformed Baptist, it was at a meeting that Conrad spoke at down at Grace Reformed Baptist, which is about 50 miles from us. And he was involved in some of the early discussions and giving some advice on planting this new church.
Yeah, well, that church, as you know, has been my home away from home. Every time I visit Long Island, I try to make every effort to fellowship with you on the Lord's Day and to fellowship with you before and after the Lord's Day, privately at a restaurant or something. And I just thank God for your friendship. You have been a true friend through thick and thin in my life, and wonderful celebratory days and also very depressing and sad days. So I can never thank you enough, Rich, for being such a dear friend to me.
Well, it's my pleasure, Chris. Knowing you all these years, we've always had great times in the Lord.
Amen. And also joining us is the aforementioned Anthony Uvinio, another pastor at Hope Reformed Baptist Church. Greetings, Anthony.
Hello, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And how long have you been one of the elders now at Hope?
I was installed in February of 2020, right before COVID, so about a little over 5 years. But I've been attending Hope for, I would say, 12 years or so at this point.
So are you trying to insinuate that Hope Reformed Baptist Church was cursed with your presence there as an elder, and that's why COVID erupted and wreaked havoc all over the world?
since I can't control those things, I would just say it was the sovereign move of God, maybe warning them, and they didn't heed the warning, but here I am.
And Pastor Chris McDowell, it's great to have you also joining us today.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
And how long have you been an elder at Hope?
I was installed in the beginning of 2019, so just a year before Anthony.
Great. Well, it's a joy to have you on. Let me give our listeners our email address in the event that they'd like to join the conversation with a question of their own. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. So, Pastor Rich Jensen, please explain to our listeners what exactly a mentoring ministry or program is, and when did Hope Reformed Baptist Church first launch this ministry to others in the church?
Well, a mentoring ministry is simply that, what the name implies, and that is that we started holding special classes specifically for men who had a desire for ministry, or men that we noticed had gifting for ministry, and holding special classes, going deeper into the Word, and going through systematic theologies, books on homiletics, hermeneutics, and with an eye of seeing if this was something that the Lord was using to bring leadership into the church. I have a special heart for this type of ministry because it's how I wound up coming into the ministry. I had a full career in law enforcement, and was attending another church, not Hope, and I was mentored into the ministry by the pastor there. And to me, it just seems like the way to go biblically, you know, is sitting at the feet of men smarter and wiser than you are, and leading you personally in the scriptures and in the way of the ecclesiology of the church. So, and we actually support two Reformed Baptist seminaries from our church that we work, that we utilize, and would I see a correlation between both having an advantage, the formal seminaries, but also then the mentoring part of it being more practical, but also getting the deeper studies as well.
And when you were being mentored, did you already have a belief that God had placed a call upon your heart and life to enter into pastoral ministry, or was the mentoring something God used to make you realize this?
It was both, actually, kind of simultaneously, and I did my level best to try to avoid it, but it just didn't work out.
Now, was your wife, your lovely wife Ginger, on board with this right away, or did it take some time? Because I have known circumstances where the wives of men who have a desire to enter into ministry want no part of it. They know that there is very often a lot of hardship that go along with being a pastor. There is heartache. There is all kinds of emotions that can disrupt a family. There could be betrayal. There could be the demands of the flock that lessen time spent with wives and children. There can be all kinds of things that come up. So how much was Ginger on board with this, and how quickly?
Well, let me put it to you exactly as she put it to me. When she realized that the Lord was calling me to ministry, and we weren't sure if it was pastoral ministry at that point, she said, "I will follow you anywhere. I'll do anything. All I want to do is serve the Lord, but I will never be a pastor's wife."
It's interesting that I asked that question, because I didn't know that.
Yes, it is.
So, and how long did it take for her to say, you know, I think I'm gonna go through with this?
It was very quick. It was almost a tongue in cheek saying from her, because she's a very godly woman, and she's one of my biggest supporters. I've been in ministry for 30 some odd years now, and she's always been by my side. And I could not have had the ministry that I've had without my wife. And like I say, she has proven herself to be the prototype pastor's wife.
Amen. And she is certainly a wonderful and godly woman, and I've loved getting to know her just as I've known you, and look forward to the next time we can have fellowship. Pastor Anthony, or as Long Island Italians would call you, Antony. I know that your very position there as an elder of Hope Reformed Baptist Church has something to do with you being mentored. Am I right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, my situation was a little different because prior to coming to Hope, I was in a non-denominational church. I was teaching Wednesday night studies, and God opened up a door. I over the course of 3 or 4 years, had preached at over 10 different churches. And it wasn't something that I was looking to do, but I was just being invited. And as people heard it, they would, you know, word got out and they would invite me to do pulpit supply. So I was teaching and preaching, doing evangelism. I started New York Apologetics. And then it, you know, it became time to leave the church that I was in. And thankfully, I had a relationship with Pastor Jensen because he was the headmaster of the school, the classical Christian school that my daughter was going to. So I had started attending their men's breakfasts. So when it was time for me to leave, I knew where I was going, and I landed at Hope, and they had the mentoring group going already. So I joined pretty much after it was in full swing. And it, coming from where I was coming, no knock to that pastor, but I wasn't being mentored. It was just something that I was doing based on my own understanding of the scriptures and the study that I was doing, whether online or in books, that kind of stuff. But now being part of a mentoring group, now it's like the way the rabbis taught. It's not just listening to what they say, it's imitating what they do. So it's living like that person. And the more you're around that person, the more that person wears off on you, which is where some of them might get the sarcasm. But as you're with somebody who's seasoned and experienced and following the Lord, I would say mentoring is more caught than taught. I don't think you can teach somebody. Maybe you can teach somebody how to be a pastor, but it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, the calling of God on their life, as well as finding a mentor who's going to sow into you, not just knowledge, but the activity of a pastor, how a pastor comports themselves, what a pastor does. It's not just preaching on Sundays. You know, there's so much more to it, which I ended up learning once I came to Hope and sitting under Pastor Jensen. So it was a blessing. And it was also scary because it was a lot more than what I had, you know, thought in my mind prior to coming to Hope.
And just to clarify, I believe what you are trying to convey is the idea that it is very important for men entering into the ministry to be taught the principles and the mechanics of it. Things that are expected of them in regard to their character and knowledge, and things that they are commanded to do. And you might even be in a seminary and get very high grades in your classes for everything that you need to know to be a pastor. But if the calling of the Lord is not upon you, that could actually wind up to be an utter disaster, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Look, if this is one of the things Pastor told me and the other guys coming into ministry, if there's anything that you would rather do than be a pastor, then do it. Don't go into pastoral ministry. So basically what he was saying is, if this isn't the sole motivation of your mind and heart as given to you by God, then do something else, because it will be tough. There will be trials. There will be tribulations. You're going to spend a lot of time with people. Some are going to listen, some aren't. You're going to go through heartache. This is something that you're not going to be able to do in your own will. You're going to have to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Being an elder is an incredible privilege and an honor, first of all, but not something to take lightly, not something for the lighthearted. It's something that you have to really recognize as being called by the Lord to shepherd God's people. Like, we are under shepherds. We answer directly to Jesus Christ, which is unbelievable, but also very, very scary at the same point in time, that we put our hand to the plow and not turn back. and recognize that these are God's people that he's entrusted with us. So it's incumbent upon us, given this responsibility, to do the absolute best job we can, do our work with excellence, recognizing that these are saints of God.
Amen. And Pastor Christopher McDowell, were you not also someone who was mentored as you eventually came to be called to be one of the elders of Hope Reformed Baptist Church?
Oh, absolutely. If it wasn't for the mentoring group, I would not be a pastor. And whether that's good or bad, that's we'll see, I guess. But no, it was, I got to the church, roughly 12, 13 years ago. And, we were just looking for a good home church that was, we were on the same page doctrinally. We had the same understanding of how things ought to be. And so Hope was a breath of fresh air in that respect. But what I found really interesting, was Pastor's story about how he came into ministry. He had a full career in law enforcement. He retired. He was looking to get into ministry, and yet it was his own pastor who was mentoring him and a few others and giving him opportunities to preach and to teach and to put him on the Pope fly list of conservative Baptist churches on the island. And then when his church was seeking a new associate pastor, he ended up preaching around that time. And they said, why are we looking for someone? We have a guy right here. We know him. He's qualified. But we should make him the pastor. And I thought, how biblical. When you think of the qualifications for office bearers in the church, one of the main things is you look at their family, you look at their character. And it's hard to do that based on, a resume, an interview, once, a little bit of a meet and greet. And here's someone that they can look and say, we know this one. He's qualified. And so I was really impressed by that. And then shortly thereafter, and I was working for the post office, and I was raising a young family myself. And shortly thereafter, he started the mentoring group, and it was for men who might be interested in ministry in the future, or if they just want to get into some of the deeper things of the Lord. And so we had a good group of guys who started off, and some of them weren't interested in teaching and preaching. They just wanted to get into some of those deeper things, get into the systematic theology and learn those things. And a few of us were interested in possibly ministering. And so through that, the various things that we covered and giving us opportunities to teach and to preach, it was through that I started to realize, like, I think the Lord is calling me to this. I had a chance to exercise gifts I didn't fully realize I had. Long story short, I ended up coming into the full-time ministry, and it was all because of Pastor Denson's mentoring group.
But it sounds to me like you are one of those men who became aware of your calling from God to be a pastor during or after the mentoring.
Yeah. I mean, churches I had been part of previously, they would have deacons and trustees, but functionally, the deacons function as elders because they're sort of in charge of the spiritual oversight of the people. And the trustees are more like deacons, taking care of the logistics and the finances and the building and grounds and stuff. And from my previous church experience, I thought, maybe one day I'll be a deacon or something. I'll help out. I was my wife and I, we had opportunities to serve in ministry in various capacities over the years. Nothing super formal, but I've taught, I've been like a youth leader. We were doing a homeschool co-op that we had, we were leading a chapter there. I was hosting, some Bible studies here and there. And it's interesting because pastor mentioned the idea of a formal seminary, and I've taken classes, and I had joined, and one of the things they were looking for was a mentoring relationship in the church or whatnot, because they realized that the formal teaching is there to give you the theological knowledge, but in terms of the practical how to and living it out and all those other things that entail being a pastor, Pastor Anthony mentioned, you're dealing with people, and it can be a blessing. It's a blessing either way, but sometimes it's very difficult and it's very challenging. And what the seminaries were seeing is that a lot of pastors were burning out. They weren't ready for that. And so they wanted them prepared with a mentoring relationship. And fortunately, I'd already had that in place with Pastor Jensen, and just being able to engage in other things, hosting Bible studies, engaging in hospitality. These things all kind of led into that. And it was just part of what God used to bring me to where I am.
Amen. Well, we're going to our first commercial break right now. And if you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com if you have a question for my three guests today. And please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvino, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, our guests today are Pastor Rich Jensen, Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and Pastor Christopher McDowell of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York. We are discussing the importance of establishing mentoring ministries in the local church. And if you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And we do have a very excellent question that I was going to ask myself from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island. And CJ asks, can the pastors please explain in detail what exactly goes on in mentoring meetings? Obviously, a very logical question to ask. And let's start with Pastor Jensen.
Well, The meetings are centered around study of the Word, and an important part is going through systematic theology. I think that's one of the important aspects of the ministry that we need to instill in our young men is understanding what the truth is. And secondly, we study hermeneutics, how to interpret the Word of God from a biblical Reformed tradition, right? And then those who are seeking active ministry of preaching and whatnot, homiletics, you know, how do you preach the Word? And then for anyone who might be seeking, you know, higher office or whatnot, we also go through Alexander Strauch's book on biblical eldership.
Excellent.
You know, that's required, you know, for anybody who is seeking any kind of office. And also for our deacon, the diaconate in our church, we use his other book, Alexander Strauch's other book, Ministers of Mercy.
He has been gracious enough to provide on different occasions both of those books to every attendee at my pastor's luncheons for free.
Yeah, from my perspective, I think they are the two top-notch books for anybody coming into church office.
Yes, amen. And Pastor Anthony, tell us more about what you've experienced in more detail at these mentoring meetings and, you know, the structure of them and so on.
Sure. So we're actually going through Lewis Perkoff's systematic theology, continuing to go through it, I should say. And we meet, you know, 7 o'clock in the evening, good group of guys. We go through whatever the chapter is. We begin to ask questions. We look up the scriptures that he cites, and we ask the difficult questions. And obviously we have a great mentor in Pastor Jensen who has a ton of experience. So he's able to answer the questions, or we're able to, you know, now as elders answer the questions for the younger guys who are coming up. But one of the things that we did that really stands out to me is going through Jay Adams' book, Preaching with Purpose. Like I said, I had been preaching prior to me getting to Hope. And as we started to go through the book, Pastor had us do 15-minute sermons and then be critiqued by the other guys in the group. Now, I was used to doing 45-minute sermons. And I said to myself, you know what? I need to rethink everything that I thought I knew and just go through this whole process. So I submitted to Pastor. I submitted to the process. And it was just revolutionary in just the way I would garner the information from the text. That was different than what I was used to doing. The way I put it out in a systematic form. And one of the big things that Jay Adams talks about, which Pastor Jensen reaffirms over and over and over, is to write out a purpose statement when you study a passage of scripture. You write out the purpose statement. What is the text saying? You don't want to just import your own opinions or ideas, but what is the text actually saying? And that becomes the purpose statement for the rest of the sermon, so that everything is going to tie back to that purpose. And one of the things that I was doing, which again was wrong, I would pick an illustration. Right at the beginning of me putting together the sermon, I'm like, oh, this is a great illustration. And what I found myself doing was tying the scripture back to the illustration that I picked, rather than now tying it back to the purpose statement. So now, under Pastor's guidance, I now pick an illustration after I'm done with the sermon. So the point of the sermon comes directly out of the text, and I now look for an illustration that would match it, rather than the other way around. Pick the illustration first. And now have all the scriptures tie back into the illustration. I was doing it backwards. So this was, enlightening to me, and certainly more biblical and more effective in my preaching and getting the actual truth of the text and the point of the text across to the people who were there to feed on it. So, you know, that was a big change in the way I viewed how to exegete the scripture, put it down on paper, get the purpose statement, and then backfill in with an illustration.
And we do have a listener question, and I'll start with Chris McDowell this time. We have Lyle in Brightwaters, New York, another Long Islander. And Lyle says, do you ever approach men that you think are qualified, even if they have never expressed an interest or a belief in a calling into the ministry, to join these mentoring groups because you think that they might not even be aware that they have what it takes to be in a role such as that?
I would say for our group, it's more of an open invite to men talking about what the intention of the group is. So whether they're ministry minded or they want to get into the deeper things, it's a good opportunity to do that. Our church is relatively small, and so everyone kind of knows each other. And it's one of the things about our church, and again, this stems from how Pastor came into ministry himself, is we don't, in other churches I've been part of, sometimes it might be the pastor who, if there's the need for a deacon or a trustee, sometimes there's a nominating committee to just a few people who will get together and put some names forward and approach those people if they're all in agreement that they qualify, or that the pastor themselves will tap people on the shoulder and say, hey, I think you'd be good for this position. With us, basically each September, we put out an office bearer nomination letter with the pertinent scriptures regarding that, and ask the congregation, do they recognize anyone who meets these qualifications, who seems to already be taking on these roles in one way or another, and shows some aptitude for it, some capacity for it. Because as we've addressed already, being an office bearer is a calling from God, and it's the Lord gives the giftings and he gives the opportunities, and it's really incumbent upon the church to just recognize what the Lord has done. And so we look for the church to nominate as a congregation people. They submit a nomination slip, and if there's a ponderance, we see a name that there seems to be some consensus growing around, then the elders would look that name and hopefully knowing more would consider, is this person qualified? Is this person interested? And then approach that person about it and ask them to speak with, we talk with them, we would talk with their spouse, give them a book, either the Alex Render Strouch book on the diaconate or the eldership, and ask them to read it through and pray about it and see if they're interested. So when it comes to approaching people and asking them if they'd be interested in doing that, that's more of how we bring people possibly into office, where once the elders have a chance to examine them, then the name is put before the congregation, and in our next business meeting, they'll be voted on. For the mentoring group itself, it's sort of an invitation. And like I said, our church is small. So we have a number of guys who are serious about the Lord and studying the Word, and they're eager to engage in evangelism. And so they're already kind of part of that group. So if that helps, I would say if you're in a church and you're seeking to do this, I would put the invite out for people. And if you see someone who maybe has shown some aptitude for it and hasn't volunteered, maybe approaching them. But as far as our church, this is how we've gone about it.
Okay, we have Red in Colleyville, Texas, who says, are you aware of any historic precedent for having mentoring programs in the church? And let's start with Rich again this time.
Yeah, the early history of even the founding of our nation was predominantly the seminary system only came in. I think Gardner Spring was one of the founders of the seminary model.
Oh, really?
Especially here in America.
He was in New York, wasn't he, Gardner Spring?
Yeah, here and I think up in New England, yep. If I remember correctly.
In the 18th century.
Yeah, you're really stretching my 80-year-old brain now. No, so, I mean, it was quite dominant, you know, to have mentoring. And not even just in the ministry, but even in the business world, you know, the apprenticeships and whatnot. It's the same basic principle.
By the way, before I forget to mention this, Alexander Strauch has told me that he would be willing to speak at one of my pastor's luncheons. So since there is obviously a very high regard for him, maybe we can piggyback with each other and work out where he can speak at the luncheon and then speak at Hope Reformed Baptist or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
If you would
That's
be
like an in. Idea.
Great. And
it'd be great.
And Pastor Anthony, why don't you let us know about some specific ways that might have been even unexpected ways, in addition to what you've already said, on how you were blessed by this mentoring?
Well, we were also part of something called the Long Island Spurgeon Fellowship, which was about 8 or 9, and maybe 10 churches in Nassau and Suffolk County, you know, like-minded churches that would get together and just once a month and talk about collaborating and, you know, doing conferences and teachings and that kind of stuff. And I guess for a while, what happened was everybody would get to the meeting and we would go around and just catch everybody up on what was going at our churches. And inevitably, someone would have an issue that was going on at their church and they wanted input from the other pastors. So we would go around the room and everybody would offer their input. And then we would get to Pastor Jensen. And it was like the E.F. Hutton commercial, you know, like when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens, everybody leaned in. And Pastor would give his assessment of the situation and how he would handle it. And it was like, you know, the Shekinah glory. Boom, there it is. That's the answer. So he has a breath of wisdom and experience. He's 80, right? So he's got a breath of wisdom and experience that we don't have. He's been through a lot of these things. And one of the reasons why he's so good at that is because he emphasizes Christian counseling, nouthetic counseling from the scriptures. So as well as preaching and homiletics and hermeneutics, the pastor has to be a counselor. So pastor is an excellent counselor. That's one of the things that he conveys to me, Chris, and the other guys, in the sense that we have to be prepared to counsel. Counseling is crisis discipleship. So mentoring is basically discipleship, discipling somebody in the faith, and if they have a calling on their life, going deeper with them. Counseling is basically crisis discipleship. When somebody's in the midst of a problem, we have to take the scriptures and see how we can apply them to that situation and help the person through it. So that was a huge benefit to me because, you know, coming from another church and seeing how other churches handled those things, it would be basically like they would outsource the counseling. Oh, well, we have a counselor for you. You can go to so-and-so and, you know, this is how much they charge you per hour and that kind of thing. Whereas at Hope, the pastor is the counselor. We are counselors. That's what we do. That's one of the main functions of a shepherd is to shepherd the sheep when they're in crisis. And what better way to do that with the shepherd who's shepherding the flock rather than outsourcing it to somebody outside of the faith? And one of the things I wanted to go back to the question that you asked, Pastor, you know, or the question that came in about how did mentoring groups start? For me, it's 2 Timothy 2:2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That to me is the quintessential verse on mentoring. Men coming into the ministry, teaching them what to do, entrusting to them your experience and the knowledge and the experience that you have and sowing it into that person.
And Pastor Chris McDowell, why don't you tell us about some ways, in addition to what you've already said, that you were unexpectedly blessed and further equipped through the mentoring program?
Yeah, the thinking about just the various things that we've gone through, where Anthony just mentioned before about preaching for 15 minutes and then being critiqued. And basically that was one of the ways that we got introduced to preaching. Now, unlike Anthony, I hadn't had any experience prior to formal preaching. And so we would, pastor would assign us a verse and we would preach a 15-minute sermon. And then we would come back the next time and the rest of the guys would help to critique us on that. And then it was a half-hour sermon, then a 45-minute sermon. And that was really instrumental in helping to, because generally when you preach, you won't get a lot of feedback from people except, oh, that was good. Or, you might get someone who might take issue with the preaching, but you're not going to get a really full-orbed critique on what you could be doing better, how you can be communicating better. And I think that's important and helpful to be able to have that. In addition, he also gave us opportunities to start teaching. So with the adult Sunday school, we started going through a survey of the Old Testament, and that survey is still going on. It's a little more in-depth than a survey. But that was, again, another example, another opportunity where I got the chance to exercise a gift I didn't realize I had in being able to delve into the scriptures and then share it with others. You know, a lot of churches, there's a lot of focus on teaching Sunday school and to the youth, but actually teaching your peers, teaching adults, it's a little bit more involved and in-depth. And so that was also very helpful. Pastor Anthony also mentioned that in addition to the systematic theology and the homiletics was the Confident Counsel by Jay Adams that Pastor would go through with us. But another thing was just the accessibility of Pastor Jensen. A lot of times, if I had a question about a particular issue, even if I thought I had a good handle on it, I could usually go to him. I could always go to him, and I would usually find that he would give me some little insight that even if I was close, it helped to change it. And again, that's the voice of experience that comes through. And that's what a lot of young pastors need, is someone who's been in the trenches and been doing this work and being able to give insight on how to best go about it.
So. Excellent. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, president and professor of systematic and homiletical theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide for us automatically every single month financial support, on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So with Christmas coming up, what a better time than that to purchase jewelry for loved ones at RoyalDiadem.com, especially if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because not only will your loved one get a breathtaking, head-turning, spectacular piece of jewelry, but we will get 100% of the profits from that sale if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and that will enable us to continue broadcasting. And, of course, if anybody out there wants to get me a customized golden chain with a Iron Sharpens Iron logo, customized chain the thickness of an anchor rope, solid gold with diamonds, preferably, I'd be more than happy to receive such a gift. But whether your purchase is for yourself or someone you love, whether it's jewelry that they have already in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if it's a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry that you have designed and created, either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today, mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guests today, Pastor Rich Jensen, Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and Pastor Christopher McDowell of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, I just have some important reminders for you folks. If you listen, with any regularity to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you likely know that we have lost two of our largest financial supporters. one of which was Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, which permanently closed its doors several weeks ago, and therefore we lost their advertising and the income that comes from it. And there was another very large advertiser that had to cancel, and there may be even a third not far away in the near future. And so we really need your help, folks. If you love this show and you want us to continue, go to irontrippandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, well, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And if you want to advertise with us, as my guests at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island do, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is that you do, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line if you want to find out more about how you can advertise on this broadcast. As much as I have been urging my listeners to donate, if at all possible, because of our urgent need for your financial support, I never want anybody in my audience to give less money to their own church where they are a member in order to bless less money to their own church in order to bless Iron Sharp and Zion Radio financially. In other words, please never dip into your Lord's Day giving to your own church, that money that you have specifically set aside to provide for your local church. Never dip into those funds in order to bless us. And if you are really personally struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra funds for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, and you want us to continue to exist, please share some of that money with us. Go to irontrippandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, wherever you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a biblically faithful church, as I have done many times with listeners in my audience spanning the entire globe. So, if you would like to have a church recommendation, I'll do my best to get you one no matter where you live. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guests, Pastor Rich Jensen, Pastor Anthony Uvino, and Pastor Christopher McDowell of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, on starting a mentoring ministry in your church. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. We have a question from Reed in Tarrytown, Long Island. I'm sorry, Tarrytown, New York. It's not in Long Island. Reed says, I'm assuming that in mentoring ministries, you help to draw out of individuals their most prominent gifts, because after all, even if these men become pastors, not all pastors are cookie cutters of one another. And the reason that we have a plurality of elders to begin with is so that they can complement each other and perhaps be there to make room while another pastor might have a slight deficiency in a certain area of Scripture. This other person who has a strength there can make the plurality of elders blend together more perfectly. Am I making sense? And Pastor Rich, why don't you start?
Yeah, of course. That's one of the marks of wisdom that we see in this biblical model is, you know, we do have a plurality of elders, and we certainly are not all gifted in the same way. There's certain things that every elder must have to qualify for the office of elder. But for example, I mean, the other two guys, they're not nearly as good looking as I am.
That's true.
No, but seriously. No, that was serious. No, seriously. If you follow the instructions of Scripture, the model of Scripture, of selecting men, and, you know, Anthony gave that quote from Timothy, which is, you know, clearly one of the models that we're supposed to follow. The Lord seems to work out that the men that are being called do complement each other. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you what my weaknesses are, but certainly Pastor Chris, Pastor Anthony pick up and are to handle certain aspects of the ministry much better than I ever have. And we see that even in the results of how the membership, the congregation grows in spiritual matters, in maturity, and meeting all the needs of the congregation. Even though we're a small church, this plurality and parity of elders, which is what we believe is biblical.
Amen. And Pastor Anthony, you want to follow up?
Sure. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think at Hope we complement each other very, very well. I honestly couldn't think of a better situation for me to be in. I mean, I learned from both of these men, their love for the Lord, their knowledge of the Scriptures, their experience, their wisdom. It's a true blessing. I did have to stop past, I think, one of his weaknesses. He was trying to teach me how to speak in tongues, and I said, "We don't do that. We hold in 1689. This is not how we do things."
Everybody outside of New York thinks we speak in tongues.
Well, we do, kind of. I did catch part of Pastor's sarcasm gift. So that's one of the gifts that I think all three of us actually exercise well. But like I said, I honestly couldn't picture myself in a better situation and learning from guys who know more than me. That, you know, I'm basically the youngest guy in the group spiritually, that's for sure. And I glean from them. It's a blessing. So you can't teach gifts. Those are going to come out automatically. And each one of our personalities just melds so well with one another. It's, like I said, it's a true blessing to be there, to be a part of it.
And Pastor Chris?
I agree. no, truly, I mean, we all have, like Pastor Denton said, there are certain things that are required to take on the office of elder. But we are going to have different strengths and weaknesses. We are going to have areas that we just, in our giftings, we learn from one another. We build off of one another. We encourage one another. It's just a microcosm in a way of just the body of Christ. You know, each one is given a particular spiritual gift, and it's not meant for themselves, and that they're the only ones who can exercise that. They're meant to encourage the brethren with that gift and give an example for how the brethren can grow in that area. You know, so, I mean, evangelism is something that all Christians are required to partake in, participate in, but some have the gift of evangelism. You know, I look at Pastor Anthony, and he's got that gifting, so we can learn from him in that respect. I mean, others have an extraordinary gift of faith or helps or something. And these are all things that, you know, in teaching, obviously you have to have the gift of teaching to take on the office of elder. But we can grow in that. We can learn from one another. And so truly the idea of having a plurality and a parity of elders, I think is just, Well, it's clearly biblical. We see that. And it's been a tremendous blessing for us just to be able to hold one another accountable, not even in terms of like just sin, but just helping to give insight, give different perspectives. And we're always, you know, we are often on the same page, but even when there's a little bit of a difference, having good conversations brings us to where we need to be. So it really is a blessing.
Okay, we have a woman with a lovely, old-fashioned, but beautiful name, Gwendolyn, in Totowa, New Jersey. I don't know how to pronounce that. And Gwendolyn says that Titus 1, verses 5 through 9 teaches us that an elder must be the husband of one wife. Why is it that so many Reformed churches who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture do not believe that it is required of an elder to be married with children, where the texts say that we cannot even judge if a man can lead unless he runs his household well? Oh, that's a very good question. Let me, I'm going to read the whole text here in Titus 1, 5 through 9. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is beyond reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of indecent behavior or rebellion. For the overseer must be beyond reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not over-indulging in wine, not a bully, not greedy for money, but hospitable, loving what is good, self-controlled, righteous, holy, disciplined, holding firmly the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict it. So I think it's a fair question that Gwendolyn has, that it seems, and I agree with her, most Reformed churches that I'm familiar with, perhaps even most evangelical churches in general, don't view this as a specific command that an elder must have a wife. They would say that this is really just teaching he must be a one-woman man, and therefore, you know, not somebody who has got a lot of girlfriends lined up or something, and is monogamous and all that kind of thing. But I don't know if you want to start this time, Pastor Chris, but how do you interpret this verse personally? Do you view it as a command for an elder to be married with children?
I was going to defer to Pastor Jensen, but
I was going to defer to Pastor Anthony since he's already going through the book of Titus for us.
Oh, really?
Right. That's true.
That's providential.
True. I mean, I think this is the general principle that you want to be looking for. But would Paul be qualified then? Mm-hmm. Because to our knowledge, he wasn't married during his time of ministry.
He also wasn't a pastor, though.
Well, I mean, we refer to him as a pastor's pastor. I mean,
right.
he would plant churches. He was a missionary, but he would lead churches for a while. He'd spend a few years with a couple of churches. So, you know, as far as the principle goes, and I think it's beneficial. I see at times we often, they'll hire someone who's, you know, straight out of Bible college or seminary. They're young. They may be married. They may have children. But it's hard to know, will they be able to lead their household well? Are they showing that? But generally we find like we're looking for men who have these character qualities, and what we are seeing from them is showing signs of that. But it is, I believe that the Greek, it does talk about being a one woman man in that respect. But, you know, we've had the issue of like, well, what about divorced men, you know, or remarried men? You know, you would start disqualifying a lot of people if we held, you know, very wooden, literally, to the wording there. But I think what we see in the totality of scriptures, that it's the general principle that's important. And I'll let, Pastor Anthony, Pastor Rich, take it up from there.
Well, Anthony.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I would agree with Pastor Chris. It's a principle thing, and it is a one woman man. In other words, if he has a wife, he's going to, his children, his family is going to be the resume by which the congregation looks at to see if he's qualified. Does he handle his wife and his children well? If it's a hard and fast rule that he must be married, well, like Pastor Chris said, you know, that's going to exclude Paul, 1 Corinthians 7:8, remain single as I am. And think about it, it would exclude Jesus himself, the chief shepherd. You know, he wasn't married. Now, I don't think it's the norm to have someone who's not married, but if they're gifted and called to the ministry, not having a wife doesn't exclude them. I would say even in a divorce situation, if that person was divorced prior to them having a calling on their life and based on the circumstances that were surrounding it, even that person, that man, may be qualified. I think after you're in the ministry, if you're divorced, I think that would cause you to have to step down. But the principle is you are to have one wife, not two or three, and not married many times. So the principle is that this person knows how to handle a family. And if you know how to handle a family and adversity, you're going to stay married for forever.
Well, let me ask you something about that. I know at least one man of God, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he has been used powerfully of God globally. He's reformed. He's an author, a magnificent preacher. And he was divorced while a pastor because his wife was an adulteress and refused to repent. And so he divorced her. In fact, he even offered a solution to move away from where they were living so that she wouldn't be, you know, more likely to be tempted by the same individual, and she refused. So that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, I know that none of us are perfect, but I believe there are cases where you have a clear innocent party and guilty party. I'm not saying by that a man is innocent of every sin that causes problems in their marriage. I don't mean that. But there are, you know, I think that you would agree that there are occasions when there is clearly a perpetrator of the sin and a victim of it. And maybe you don't agree with me, but Pastor Rich, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think the scenario just painted is a rare one. To say we have a tendency of isolating on one particular issue. There's a whole series of qualifications and characteristics that a man who's going to seek eldership has to fulfill. It's rare that he's only deficient in one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about character issues that go, and even though they manifest themselves in different. So somebody who's who is greedy, all right, is probably going to be lacking in self-control in other areas of characteristics as well. And so that's why you need to take each of these situations in a totality of and look at it individually, because it's usually not just one simple thing, not in my experience anyway.
But that answer seems to offer hope in certain circumstances that a man, after he perhaps even temporarily steps down to try to get his life in order, can return to the ministry. It seems that you are offering at least some hope for that in certain circumstances.
I think in certain circumstances that there can be hope.
And I'm not saying, I'm not talking about the man who is an adulterer. I don't mean that.
Right.
I personally don't believe a pastor who's committed adultery while a pastor can ever return to that office. But if his wife does and, they get divorced, I think that can be something that could be restored in the man, that he can return to the office. And the woman can be restored, but not obviously we don't believe in women being office bearers anyway.
Yeah, no, I think it's my only point is that we always need to look at the totality of the circumstances.
Right.
And I've just found that in my experience that if somebody's deficient in one area, that's going to manifest itself in another. And I've found it very seldom where you can say, oh, this guy's disqualified from being an elder because of that one issue,
Right.
Again, I'm just talking from what I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's see. We have, I was just looking at the question that we had from another sister in Christ. Stephanie in Orange, Connecticut. Stephanie says, are you aware of any mentoring programs for women? Obviously not to prepare them for office bearing, but women are obviously involved in certain aspects of ministry with other women and children.
Yeah, in fact, I believe we have something. I don't know if we'd call it a mentoring group, but the clear teaching of Scripture is that the older women are supposed to be teaching the younger women. And so we have several women, Pastor Chris's wife and Pastor Anthony's wife hosts some breakfast, and there is mentoring done in that context. They study the Scriptures, and maybe they can elaborate a little bit on exactly what their wives are doing.
All right.
I know. I'm sorry, Chris. I know in my wife's case, she hosts a breakfast once a month, and they had gone through a book. I forget the book's name, but they basically go through the chapter, examine the Scriptures. They share with one another. They share their experiences with one another. Again, going through Titus, the older women are to teach what is good and train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, submissive to their own husbands. So the woman basically, for lack of a better term, is the pastor of her home while her husband is out, working in the business field or pastoring. So her job is to make sure that the family is tight together as a unit. And it's her job, her responsibility to sow into the young kids, teach them how to be a family. And then when obviously the father comes home, it's his responsibility to disciple each one of them and hopefully do corporate worship together with them, family worship, I should say, with them. So it's a microcosm of the church, right? We have pastors who lead the congregation, and then we have fathers who lead their wives and their children, and mothers who take care of their children and raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So yeah, I think women need to know how to do that. Marriage is tough sometimes. Loving someone who's a sinner and them loving you back the way we're supposed to, the way for a man to love your wife like Christ loved the church, you can't find a higher bar for us. And it's difficult. I fail all too often. And, you know, the women go through this the same situation. Remember that we're two sinners put into an intimate relationship called to love each other. So the women definitely need guidance and help and comfort and support in doing that, as do the men.
And so what's your wife up to, Chris?
Well, she's one of them. You know, it's interesting. Pastor Jensen mentioned our wives, but Ginger herself, while she doesn't like to be front and center in front of a group, she's behind the scenes. She's a mentor to women. She loves them. She reaches out to them. She encourages them. You know, she'd share things, you know, books like Parenting in the Pew and whatnot. You know, we believe in like a family integrated sort of worship model. The idea that we should have our young ones with us so that they know, even if they can't understand everything that's being elaborated on in a sermon, they know that we worship together. They see us praying and singing. We're not creating a subculture within the church by separating out our youth. And Ginger is a woman who is, she's been an encouragement to my wife, and I'm sure to Michelle, Pastor Anthony's wife, and to countless others as well. And, my wife is, that's just the role that she's, you know, the Lord just gives us wives, I think, that are oftentimes fitted to, help us in our ministry by reaching out to the women, encouraging them, and that can take place in informal and informal settings. And so just being someone who's reaching out to the women and talking to them and encouraging them, and again, being that Titus II woman is so necessary. And my wife is also, she loves theology. She loves talking theology, and theology is practical. So she's actually... My wife and I are starting studies that we're going to be hosting bi-weekly, every other week alternating. I'm going to be doing a men's study, going through some Lodi Bachum books on What He Must Be, Family Shepherds, Family-Driven Faith, and she'll be going through Martha Peace's Excellent Wife. And so this is a more of a formal opportunity to just remind us of the roles we have. You know, it's funny, we spend so much time preparing our children for academics, college, career, that sort of thing. But the normal course of life that God has instituted for us is to be husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. And oftentimes we're not preparing our children for that with a great deal of the same intention that we do for academics and career. And so this is something that we need to be pouring into the next generation and encouraging young families. There's so much stress and there's so many distractions and they need that help. And so that mentoring, again, the family, and Pastor Anthony just mentioned that, that the family is a microcosm of the church, you know, and the Puritans have talked about that. Each household is as a little church and each father as a pastor. And those fathers who are doing that well, again, we see that as being the qualifications for the eldership. Lodi Bachum was fond. I look forward to seeing him in glory. He was a tremendous influence on me as well. But the family is sort of the resume for an office bearer. He's showing how he's managed to lead his own household and if he's qualified to lead the household of God. And we want to encourage men to take on that role. I mentioned how, you know, the gift of teaching is something that all elders have to have. And yet everyone, as a Christian, has an opportunity to teach, whether they're discipling, you know, their wives, their children, you know, people that they have shared the gospel with and are encouraging them in the faith. These are opportunities that God puts before all of us, people that we get to reach that perhaps our pastors won't. And so we want to encourage them in taking on that role, and then perhaps later on they'll take it on a bigger scale on being an office bearer within the body of Christ.
Okay, let's see here. We have, before we go to our final break, we have Gordon in Limestone Creek, Florida. And Gordon says, "It has troubled me, as much as I love our Presbyterian brethren, that they insist upon seminary degrees for someone to be qualified for the pastorate. Is this not adding to the scripture something that the scriptures do not demand?"
Yes. It's not their most pressing issue, but it certainly is one of them. I mean, we hold to the idea of the gifted brethren being able to teach and preach, that a Baptist, you know, London Baptist distinctive. And it's helpful to give them opportunities to, because again, we all have these giftings that the Lord has given us. We have opportunities to practice and exercise them. And so seminary is very helpful, very informative and instructive. But the biblical model is mentorship. You know, obviously we see Jesus and his disciples and the apostles. We see Paul with men like Timothy and Titus. We've become a little too institutionalized. And it's not that these institutions are bad. We support at least three seminaries we support with monthly giving. So we recognize the value of it. But it should not replace the obligation of the local church to be trying to pass on to faithful men that which has been entrusted to us, where Pastor Anthony mentioned is straight out of the letter to Timothy.
And I have shared that concern of our listener in Limestone Creek, Florida, among Reformed Baptists who are leaning that way more and more. Now, obviously, since you guys are Reformed Baptists, that would be a concern of you, and I'm assuming that all three of you are rejecting that notion because you are pastors who I don't believe have seminary degrees, right?
Right. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Acts 4:13, and it says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men," the King James says, "ignorant." So I am mentioned in the scripture. perceived that they were ignorant, ordinary men. They were astonished and recognized that they had been with Jesus. I think the main qualification for an elder is that he's been with Jesus, not obviously personally the way Paul has, but are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you bold? Now, I am all for education. I think it's terrific. And if you're able to do it, have at it, definitely, but there are some people, some guys who come out of seminary, are they bold in their proclamation of the gospel? Are they willing to go out on a street corner and open air preach? Are they willing to stand in front of an abortion mill and call people out? And maybe they are, but I just don't think that the degree is what qualifies you.
Yes.
If you are a born-again Christian filled with the Spirit, and you have been with Jesus and you have a desire to serve and love the Lord, and God has gifted you in certain ways to convey the message, to be a good counselor, I don't think that a seminary degree, not having a seminary degree, should disqualify you. Again, right. I think if you have the means and the ability to study in seminary, definitely do it. If you don't, you definitely need the boldness and must have been with Jesus.
And one stunning example from church history is Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't buy the argument. I've heard the argument of those who insist on seminary degrees for elders who also love Spurgeon. Well, he wanted to be seminary educated, but the Church of England wouldn't allow non-members of their denomination to be seminary. I don't buy that, because Spurgeon's life and legacy, the volumes that fill many Christians' libraries of things that he wrote, and of course his transcribed sermons, And just his ability to teach is so overwhelmingly mind-blowing. So I think that he's just an example. Now, I know that just picking out examples of people for anything is wrong as a proof of anything. But going back to the original statement that I made, perhaps it was our listener in Limestone Creek, Florida, who made it, that this is adding to the Bible. There's no command for this.
We should point out, I don't know if we have time, probably after the break, but we should talk a little bit about ordination. And
yeah, well, why don't we do that? Well, we're going to go to a final break right now, and we could go into that. And if you would like to join us with a question of your own, please join us at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
And folks, please never forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with my guests from Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, Pastor Rich Jensen, Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and Pastor Christopher McDowell. And Pastor Chris, you had brought up ordination, and it is a very important topic, and why don't you now take the floor?
Yeah, as we were saying, we're talking about the importance of education, and we're not knocking that by saying that we don't believe seminary is required to be an office bearer. But traditions are good and they're helpful. And our particular tradition, and I was going to defer to Pastor Jensen, but that you can become an office bearer and in particular an elder, and seminary is not required, but you do have to show an aptitude to be able to teach. So teaching and preaching, you don't necessarily need to receive a degree to be able to engage in that and exercise the gift that God has given you. But for our own church constitution, we recommend that if a man is going to desire or is being called to missionary work, to plant a church, or to take the lead of a church plant, a small church, it would be wise and beneficial to be ordained. And basically, our understanding of that, and as we apply it, is that you are examined by other pastors, other elders, to see if you have a good foundation and grounding in the scriptures to be able to take on that responsibility. So pastor was ordained. He was actually ordained twice, and he can share that if he has time. But we take some of the 10 major areas of theology, and each of us have written a paper regarding our understanding of those 10 issues, bibliology, theology proper, Christology, pneumatology, angelology, all of them, Baptist distinctives, as well as explaining our call to ministry, our personal background. And we put that paper out for other pastors to examine and then to have an ordination council and basically have an opportunity to put you through your paces and see if you are grounded in the scriptures and have a sufficient base of knowledge that you'd be able to take on the responsibility of caring for a church and perhaps possibly being the leader of a small congregation or a church plant or missionary work to make sure that you are grounded enough in the faith to be able to qualify to do that. So we recommend that, and that's part of our church constitution. So obviously, pastor who's been ordained twice, Pastor Anthony and I were both ordained in November of 22, after putting our paper and being going through the council and then being ordained by the church.
Now, don't you think you missed this one? Don't you think that a man needs to be proficient in order to be qualified for the eldership? He should be very proficient in Arnzenology, the life and legacy of Chris Arnzen.
I think we've mentioned that somewhere in there. It's in the back.
Well, I'd like now Pastor Rich and Pastor Anthony to summarize what you two both want most etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding this topic today. And we'll start with you, Pastor Rich.
Well, I think very, very simply, we're very much pro-mentoring men for the ministry and expanding on that, not exclusively for men who are looking for eldership, but those who are to be useful in the church. We have several young men that at one point or another have been part of our mentoring group, and have not sought, you know, eldership, but they have found the mentoring group, you know, extremely helpful, even in just their maturing in the faith. And so you just can't go wrong. The intimacy that you have in a mentoring group, you can't duplicate that in a seminary setting. That being said, you know, I took seminary classes along with the mentoring, and I know Pastor Chris has done the same thing. So I think it's a both and, not an either or, but very much supporting this idea. I think if we get back to mentoring, it will enhance the ministries of the local church.
And Pastor Anthony Uvinio.
Yeah, so one of the imperatives in Matthew 20, the imperative in Matthew 28:19 is to make disciples, right? So what is a disciple? A disciple is not somebody who just knows sound doctrine, but is living it out. So Jesus was a rabbi, and he rabbied himself in the shepherds. The shepherds are to rabbi themselves to the congregants. Now, mentoring is just taking discipleship a step further for the men who have a calling or a desire to be in ministry. So making disciples is one thing. Elevating that to a mentorship is for those people who are considering becoming an elder or a deacon. And that mentoring process is going to be of tremendous benefit to anybody who's looking to go that route, because you're going to see firsthand from your mentor what it's like to be a shepherd. You're going to learn the things that are not written on the paper. Like, there's so many life experiences that Pastor has shared with us that although the principles are in scripture, some of the scenarios we would never be able to even hypothetically come up with in our mind. And Pastor says, look, this is what happened. And you're like, wow, how would you handle that? And you get stepped through, what the principles are, what the procedure is. And basically you learn how to, analyze a situation from a biblical worldview. And those are all things that are going to come, again, I'll say it, that are not necessarily taught, but caught. You need to be in contact with your mentor on a regular basis who makes themselves available, like Pastor Jensen has, to sow into your life, mirror, living out what he has read in the scriptures. So it's invaluable.
Well, I want to thank all three of you for doing such a spectacular job. I look forward to having all three of you back on the program to discuss other issues. And if anybody lives in the Coram, Long Island area, or you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, or if you're just passing through, please write down this website so you'll know where to visit. That's hopereformedli.net. HopeReformedLI.net. If anybody has any disapproval of anything we said today, I'm going to give you Anthony Uvinio's home phone number. And he's ready to answer that any time, 24 hours a day, you may call his home, even in the middle of the night. I'm only kidding.
1-800-REFORMED-ROOKIE.
Well, thanks, guys. And once again, I will want you to come back on very soon. We can't wait too long. and discuss something else. I want everybody listening to always remember that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.